Good afternoon. I am not Lounges. I'm Tom Maloney filling in for Tom Lounges, running just a little bit late. Those pesky trains all across Northwest Indiana will get you when you're not looking. Coming up this afternoon on Midwest Beat, benefiting the Humane Society, the Songwriters Circle for Critters, coming up at the Hobart Art Theater. We have in studio Eric Lambert and Shar, along with Robbie Celestin. Eric and Shar will be playing some guitar, singing some songs. And Robbie, I think we're going to throw you on the microphone as well to go ahead and sing with us. That's all coming up, of course, right after your headlines first. This is Midwest Beat on Lakeshore Public Radio. Good afternoon. I am not Tom Lounges. Tom is running a little bit behind today. Trains in Northwest Indiana, they'll get you one way or another. But this is still Midwest Beat, and we have a packed studio for a packed conversation this afternoon. Coming up is the Humane Society benefit for Hobart, the Hobart Animal Shelter, the Songwriters Circle for Critters at the Hobart Art Theater. And I think we have the biggest critter of all right now on the phone. Hello, caller, are you there?
I am there. I have never, ever in the history of my radio career been a call-in guest on my own show. This is Lounges. I just got caught with not one, but two trains. You know, the trains in Northwest Indiana are a nightmare to start. And you know you're in trouble when you're almost thinking you're through and two more engines are in the middle of the train because it's such a long son of a gun. So yeah. We just got past that, and I am on my way to the station. Would have been there in plenty of time had I not lost my keys, first of all. The wife had to come from the high school where she works and bring me the spare set, and then I catch the train. So it's been one of those, whatever can happen days, you know?
Tom, I got to ask, how many times have you used that excuse when turning in your homework?
Never used trains, but I always seem to catch them.
Yep.
But you know, the thing is I've cut it close, as you know. I've walked in when the music theme is going, but I've never missed my own show.
Wait a minute. Tom, it's Robbie. You actually have a chance to say hi, first-time caller, to your
That's
own
true.
Show.
Hey, I am a first-time caller, a frequent listener, though.
And again, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for you, caller. We have to get back to the...
They're already edging,
give
you
him
out,
an inch,
Tom.
He takes a mile.
Come on in, Tom.
No, I feel your pain, Tom. You know, I was coming here from the city. I ran into this like 2-hour drive to get here, and woof.
And that voice
that
you hear
crazy.
is Robbie Celestin. Robbie, good afternoon. Welcome to Midwest Beat.
Hello. We have a regular party going on.
We
in
do,
here,
and
man.
We of course we've got Eric Lambert and Shar in studio. Robbie, singer, songwriter, performer, podcast host. Shar, who's been singing with Eric now for the last couple of years, a songwriter, performer, guitarist, featured on the new CD from Eric Lambert coming out in July, called Beating the Odds, and hopefully we'll be hearing some tracks from that once Tom gets into the studio. I don't want to spoil all of the fun. And, of course, we have the wonderful tones of Mr. Tom Lounges on the phone. Tom,
and calling in a little later, we'll have Ivy Ford this hour, and then next hour we'll have the amazing Leslie Hunt. So we're going to have a chock full of, it'll be like a cornucopia of guests.
Looking forward to it, Tom. And are you any closer now, or did you hit another train?
No. I'm actually almost to US 30.
Almost.
This is more exciting than that OJ thing. We've got eyes on Tom. He's almost at 30.
This is like a reality TV radio show. You know, it's like, call in, where are you at now? Now where are you at? And now I've got this really old person in front of me who is insisting on driving at 15 miles an hour. This is just an incredible day.
We have eyes on you, Tom. We couldn't afford a chopper, but we have a guy on a 10-speed, an old 10-speed.
And he's following me.
They put the baseball card in the wheel spokes.
10-speed is passing me. Oh, my goodness. Well, I knew that if I had to be late to a show or had to have a snafu like this, that this would be the show to do it on. Thank goodness. There is a guiding higher power somewhere. because Robbie is a host of a podcast. Robbie and Eric are both really well-spoken and entertaining and charismatic entertainers, so I know they could do...
Oh, we've lost
we'll
Tom.
We'll be there. Oh. We'll be there soon.
Okay,
we... And just want to let everyone know that today's show is about Sunday, June 6th, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, at the Hobart Art Theater. It is the Songwriter Circle for Critters. I'll be moderating, and we will have all four of the amazing singer-songwriters that will be on today's show joining me at that event. So we will we'll be talking all about it and playing songs from all of them. So maybe Eric and Shar can perform a wonderful new live song while I'm en route, and I can enjoy it while tuning in to 89.5.
Nope, we lost you again. We lost you again, Tom.
I'm so glad, man.
We will see you when you get here to the studios. Of course, you're listening.
ETA 10 minutes.
10 minutes. There we go.
I'm on 83rd. The ongoing adventure continues.
All right,
man. I'm glad he talked about my gift to gab, because I really want to showcase for the next 40 minutes a mime act that I've been working on.
I love this.
And it's great for radio.
Especially public radio.
Yeah.
We love silence in public radio. It really adds to the atmosphere of the conversation.
I've been told I have a face for radio.
So, Eric, you've got a new CD coming out, Beating the Odds, coming out in July. Of course,
yes.
This is the part where Tom Lounges says, hey, you know, Eric, I've got a couple of record stores, one in Hobart and one in Michigan City. Can you go ahead and give us a little bit of the lowdown on Beating the Odds?
The lowdown on Beating the Odds? Well, it's a new disc of 10 of my written tunes and a cover tune, and features Shar.
On a couple of the tracks,
my mom
right?
always said, you know, you got to get somebody in his family that can sing. So Shar is all over that disc. The amazing Don Sternberg is all over that disc, as well as Kyle O'Brien
mm-hmm.
on fiddle. Donnie, of course, on the mandolin. Kyle O'Brien on the fiddle. And Terry Boylan plays drums on a couple of tracks.
So it sounds like it's a pretty good old-fashioned bluegrass record.
It's an Americana record.
Okay.
It's an Americana record. It's got... it's got pieces of bluegrass in it, mm-hmm. but it's got pieces of folk in it, and it's got pieces of blues and swing, and it's American music.
It's a potpourri.
It's really amazing. What it boils down to, and, you know, much like, it's the education I got listening to the Grateful Dead and the Allman Brothers and Little Feet and mm-hmm. the band. It's American music, and it's equal parts, all of those things, you know. And, of course, it was recorded at Thunderclap Recording with our fearless leader, John Carpenter,
mm-hmm.
who engineers, mixes, masters. He's,
almost everything in Northwest Indiana at this point, I think. Yeah.
He's I've recorded in other parts of the country, but mm-hmm. And it was suggested, you know, by folks that I work with that I go to Nashville to record this one. And I said, well, let's just record a few tracks where I'm comfortable and see how that goes. And of course, you know, the whole thing was done with John at Thunderclap.
Now, did you record the whole album? Was this pre-pandemic or during the pandemic?
It was ready for release last spring.
Yeah.
And we had a summer's worth of activity lined up to release the product, the music, and tour it and promote it. And, of course, everything in our world stopped just like everyone else's.
Yeah.
And then, of course, during this time, you know, we've written some more songs and have snuck into John's place here and there to mm-hmm. get them done. And we're actually waiting on a couple of final mixes to get approved and mastered to get everything out to replication and stuff. But John's been amazing throughout the whole thing, you know.
Yeah, he really does a fantastic job with his work with region artists. CD's Beating the Odds, it's coming out in July. Do you have a date yet for the release?
No, we do not have a date, but it'll be out mid to late July for sure.
Okay. We got to buy some time now before Tom gets to the studio.
Yeah.
You are listening to Midwest Beat. I am not Tom Lounges. I'm the other Tom, Tom Maloney, filling in right now. Let's hear something off of the new CD, Beating the Odds, and hopefully by that time Tom comes in, I can duck out, and then I can go ahead and be the longtime listener, first-time caller.
Well, yeah, thank you very much, Tom. You know, I kind of thought we might talk guitars a little bit.
I mean, we could if you want. If he's not back by the song, we'll go ahead and talk guitars here for the next few minutes
right.
as well.
Well, this is a tune off the new record, and it's our little tribute to the lovely Ethel Polk, who I met at 99 years young and played a birthday party for her with several other artists from the folk and Americana music scene in the city, and then played her 100th, then her 101st, and her 102nd.
And, that's quite a story.
We didn't play her 103rd.
No.
Her 103rd was pandemic.
Yeah.
And then, God bless her, she left us during this past year. But she was such an inspiration. And, you know, I was talking to my mentor down in Nashville, and I said, I'm just having trouble writing, you know. I'm sure everybody can relate to that. And she said, write about something that inspires you. So this came up about Ethel Polk. And God bless you, Ethel. We miss you. And we do love you dearly. And it's called I'll Dance When I'm 100. Back when I was growing up, folks told me what to do. Sit up straight, don't be late, don't be a clown in school. We'll teach you how to be a man, grow up and act your age. Not too much further down the road, I'll learn to turn the page. By the time that I turned 30, I was living the so-called dream. Job and debt, credit cards, that same old corporate scene. So I sold my stuff, bought a van, and headed for the coast. Somewhere in Colorado, I poured myself a toast.
Said I'll dance when I'm 100, swim the neat blue sea. Live up on a mountain, keep my spirit free. Age is just a number, it won't define me. I'll dance when I'm 100, come on dance with me.
I'd like to play the fiddle, I said to my friend Vern. My man, he said, you're 50 and it's too late to learn. So I went down to the music shop, hung out with Fiddle and Roy. Now I'm playing old Joe Clark, learning soldier's joy.
Said I'll dance when I'm 100, swim the deep blue sea. Live up on a mountain, keep my spirit free. Age is just a number, it won't define me. I'll dance when I'm 100, come on dance with me.
Reflecting back at 70 with more memories than sense, I keep on pushing forward, not sitting on the fence. I've got a brand new girlfriend, we love and sing all day. When we finally settle down, there's one thing left to say.
Said I'll dance when I'm 100, swim the deep blue sea. Live up on a mountain, keep my spirit free. Age is just a number, it won't define me. Well, I'll dance when I'm 100, come on dance with me. Dance when I'm 100, come on dance with me.
Yeah!
Woo!
Nice.
I made it!
Yes!
is here.
You made it.
Hey, Tom.
One of those days, man. Murphy's Law. Not only after I got off the phone with you guys, yeah. I'm down 83rd. I'm thinking, okay, clear sailing. Road construction. So then they detoured me. I'm like, are you kidding me? Next is going to be a plague of locusts landing on the windshield. But
Stop that. Don't manifest that.
Wow, it was a crazy trip here. But like I said, I knew the show was in good hands. Mr. Maloney is here, and Jose is here, and Robbie, I know, can talk a blue streak for 6 hours without taking a breath. Eric's got a million songs, and Char is here to accompany him, so I knew it was going to be good. But we are here, and we're going to get Ivy Ford on the phone in just a moment here when Jose gets situated, swapping out seats with Tom. Thanks to everyone for covering, but it was just one of those crazy days.
We're glad you're here.
I'm glad I'm here. All right. Again, this event that we've got coming up is on June 6th. It's Sunday. Uh-oh, my headphones just went out. Hello. Check one. Is that me? No. There we are. No? What happened? I can't hear myself. Anyway, there it went. Songwriters Circle is happening on Sunday, June 6th. It's going to be like from 5 o'clock start time until around 8 o'clock. We're going to have some fun with that. 100% of the proceeds is helping out the Humane Society of Northwest Indiana. And this thing came together as kind of a casual conversation with Robbie and I. We were talking, and I said, you know, I want to do this thing. And I was telling him, and I'd never done one, but I heard about them. Oh, the headphones are out again. Oh, well, you know what? I don't need them until we get on the phone. We were talking about that, and Robbie said, I've done those. And I said, well, I know who's going to be my partner in crime. And, you know, I knew of Eric and Char, and I knew of Leslie. Leslie's been on the show before, but I didn't think that she would be attainable for something like this. And she's been with American Idol, and she lives way up north area there and works with Jimbo. So I thought, okay, he's like, well, I know Leslie really well. So he made a call to Leslie, and then we're thinking, okay, we need a fourth. It's kind of like a card game. You need that fourth person. And, Robbie, you came up with Ivy Ford, and I was unfamiliar with her. How have you worked with Ivy?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I just became a fan online. I started to see her videos and her presence and her voice. I mean, she looks like a young lady, but she sounds like an 80-year-old blues singer with just all the experience and the warmth. And I've just always been taken by her, and I knew she was a busy musician. So, yeah, she just kind of popped in my head right away because she's just been someone I've eyed for a long time. Mm-hmm. We've never met in person. And
you haven't met in person?
And our first time, the longest interactions we've had have been kind of us talking about this, the show.
Wow, I thought you were like bosom buddies or something.
We admired each other from afar for a while.
Wow. Yeah.
So that's, she's great.
That's pretty amazing. Of course, she's got some original songs. That's why she's on this songwriter's bill. But what I like about this is like Tom said, the variety of things that's going on here, just like with Eric's CD that we just heard a song from, all these different textures and flavors make for a wonderful palette, so to speak, of things. So we've got Eric, who you just heard doing Americana music. Robbie, I don't really know how to describe you. I like to think of you as falling somewhere between Marvin Gaye and John Legend with a little touch of jazz and a whole lot of sass.
Nice.
You know, the hat thing, too. The hat thing throws back to Sinatra. So, I mean, you've got all these elements into your music. Leslie is all over, too. I mean, I'm familiar with her from District 97, which is a pretty heavy alt-prog band.
Yeah.
They're like alt-prog. And, of course, I've seen her perform with Jim Peterik, and that's more of a poppy singer thing. And then she sends me a picture of her at a keyboard. And I'm like, okay, I don't know how to describe her. And then I hear Ivy's music for the first time, and I'm thinking, this is good stuff. You know, it takes me back to my blues club days. And I was working at Players and Bugsy's with people like Coco Taylor and Buddy Guy and Phil Guy and all those people. And I thought, what a perfect lineup for a songwriter's circle. It's so eclectic. Yeah. Nobody sounds like anybody else on the bill. And we heard Eric. We're going to play a song. We're going to play a song from Ivy. As soon as I handed you the CD a minute ago, it's in a plain case. There. There it is. It's hiding. See? One of those days where everything goes wrong. We're going to play a song from Ivy called Start a Fight.
Momentum.
And then we're going to have Ivy join us by phone. A little later in the show, we'll have Leslie Hunt on phone. And we're going to talk about, track three, Start a Fight. And this is Ivy Ford to give the listeners a little taste of what her sound is.
Start a fight. My man was talking to another girl the other day. I'm not usually the jealous type, but I gotta say right then and there, things didn't feel all right. Oh, not right. Maybe it's just me, but I'll start a fight. Come on now.
Love that bass line in that song. Had me toe tapping and pounding on the counter here.
She knows what she's doing.
Hey, I don't want to mess with her. She'll start a fight. I don't know, Robbie. You invited these rowdy people to our songwriter's circle.
A musical knife fight. It's going to be like West Side Story.
Ivy, are you with us?
I'm here.
We are so glad that you're able to join us. I don't know if you were listening to us long distance from where you're at there via the app, but it has been one heck of a morning.
Yeah, I tuned in a little bit, but you know, that's showbiz, right?
It is. Got to say, as I was saying earlier when Robbie was on with me just a moment ago before the song, that I was unfamiliar with you. And he said, I got this girl who's got this great sound. And I'm like, he mentioned the blues, and I'm a big fan of the blues. And I said, okay, that's checking the box. And then he mentioned that you had done some shows opening for Buddy Guy. And so that's checking double boxes there. And yeah. I had just scene buddy about a week ago when he performed at the
at the casino.
Casino, yeah, he was there for the VIP party, jamming with his son Greg and Rick Nielsen, the Cheap Trick. And were you at that event by chance?
No, I was not. You know, I think I had a gig the night, but I'm good friends with, first of all, I got family, my dad's side of the family is from Gary, actually. So I was familiar with, you know, kind of what was going on the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. But I'm good friends with Greg and all them. So I had known about it and I was like, oh man, I'm working or you know, I would have came. And then I'd seen pictures and stuff after the event afterwards. So it, pretty cool. Pretty awesome with that all happening.
I did notice you have a polka dot guitar on the stairs behind you in your promo picture. Is that an homage to Buddy?
It is, yeah. It actually, it is a Buddy Guy Stratocaster. And it was a wedding gift, actually, when I was married. And it's funny because, you know, I think it's safe to say, like most guitar players, when people say, well, how do you pick up a good guitar, you know, and it's a real personal thing. So I've never really, with that being said, it's funny because most of my guitars that I've gotten have been kind of sight unseen, unplayed. Mm-hmm. And when I've gotten them, they've just like been perfect. So that was, like I said, that was a wedding gift, and it's all registered with Fender and things like that. But it is, it's a Buddy Guy Strat. And the first time I had a gig at Buddy's with that, I'm not gonna lie, I was all nervous to bring it up, you know, play it there, because I'm thinking, oh man. And Buddy was actually there that night, and he got up on stage with us and whatnot, and the first thing he said when he got on stage, he told me, he gave me a hug, and he goes, that guitar sounds pretty good, and it looks pretty good on you too. And I was like, okay, I got the approval. So I was grateful for that.
Wow. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey into music. How old were you when you started? What brought you to music? How did you to choose this as a career?
Sure. Ever since I was probably 4 or 5 years old, even younger than that, I've always been into music. You know, it's cliche, but it's true. I probably was singing before I was talking. And my dad actually was a professional bass player and singer back in the day. I wasn't raised with him most of my childhood, but I say my genetics are true, because there's a lot of stuff that now him and I'll see him playing or we'll play together. I'm like, oh man, I do that too, you know. So it definitely was kind of in the genes, so to speak. And then when I was a kid, I would do talent shows and things like that. I wasn't singing blues or anything. It's funny, I joke, because I'm like, actually, I was singing Britney Spears and whatnot, which is funny.
Wow. Would not have guessed that.
Right, yeah. So I started from a real young age singing and performing in front of people. And I remember, I think I was 5 years old, and I'd done a school talent show. And they had said, after the show was done, they said, hey, you know, the community is doing a thing, like a big kind of weekend festival. And we have like a youth showcase, whatever, for that. And I remember going, I'm 5 years old, I remember going up to my mom and I said, Mom, I want to do that. I'm doing it, you know. And I think that was definitely the spark in the beginning of many things. So I think I knew then that music was what I wanted to do. And definitely, as time went on growing up, it was never not an option, I think. So, and then go, you know, in high, when I was probably about 11, 12 years old, my mom was actually a bartender at a place where they had a live band on Sundays. And she said, you should come to work with me, you know, one afternoon. And the band, they were out of Kenosha, Wisconsin. And they were called The Real Deal, managed. And the drummer was a guy named Steve Rainey, and he got me up to sing. I think I sang Stand By Me or something like that. And that was really, that was another big kind of milestone, because that was my first taste of singing with a live band and whatnot. And so he would let me come and sit in with them if they were playing kind of locally. And I think I was maybe 13 or 14, and he actually had hired me for like a dinner gig as a backup singer and a keyboard player for a little bit. So I was kind of got my chops a little bit in that situation. And it's cool, because a lot of musicians that I met then, I'm, you know, have been longtime friends still today. And then I joke. So I'm like, then I had to go to high school, so I wasn't I wasn't running the streets too much then. And the plan actually for me, I wanted to go to college for musical theater and performance. But after I graduated, I had some health issues. I didn't go to school right away, and I was about 19, and I met a local band that they did like rock and a little bit of blues. And again, I was just tired of the background singer and keys a little bit. And then when I did pick up the electric guitar, a good friend of mine who was in that band, he was a harmonica player. He goes, there's some open jams. I want to take you out. And he goes, you have a guitar? I think, yeah. I said, but I don't know how to play it. And he goes, well, there's a lot more profanity and stuff. But he goes, hey, well, forget that. Bring it anyway. So I brought it, and I didn't know what the heck I was doing, but I tell folks, I'm like, you'd be amazed at what you can do when you don't want to make a fool out of yourself. So I just, faked it till I made it type of thing. And then the band that I was in where I was playing keys and stuff, at one of our gigs, I brought the electric guitar to play like one song, a couple bar chords, and the guitar player at that time, He didn't like that. So at the end of the night, he was paying us at the end of the gig, and he had a lot of things to say and a lot of quote unquote, how do you say, notes and critiques for me that weren't too kind. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the bandmates didn't like that, so they kicked him out and they said, "But Ivy, if you wanna sing now and be like the boss, we'll play for you." And so that's how
wow, that's pretty cool, full circle moment there.
Yeah, so that's how I kind of stepped in front. And
I was going to say, the song we just played, Start a Fight, it's definitely got the blues element to it, but it's got that walking bass line. It's got a lot of pop elements,
rock,
too.
Yeah, and almost like rockabilly type stuff.
Yeah, I like that. We described you as a blues artist, but you really are diverse as well. In a little a little later in the show, we're going to get to Devil Song, which to me is a very traditional blues song.
Definitely.
And we're going to get to that. Robbie is the guy that recommended you for this event that we're doing, this songwriter circle for critters. And he just told me, now I thought you guys were like close friends. He goes, no, I've never even met her yet. And I'm like, really?
I know.
So how did you come to be a Robbie Celestin fan? And Robbie, how did you come to be an Ivy fan? How did you guys actually connect?
For me, Ivy, it's one of those things where I can't remember how I saw you on my feed somewhere online. I don't even know how it works out. And viewing number one, I was just in love with your voice and your presence. And then viewing number two, I was done. I was following you, and then I befriended you or whatever you do online. And that was it. And I've just been a fan of yours from afar.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, but no, that's how it goes with, social media and modern technology. And there's a lot of, I know it's cool, because I know for me, I do a lot of traveling, and you meet a lot of different cats or whatever, and it's cool because you can stay connected, online, and then are able to kind of correspond and set up things, like this event in a couple weeks, and that's exactly how it is. It's like you can feel like you know someone and not meet them yet. And it's like, oh, okay.
Well, I'm looking forward to this event because I've known Eric forever, decades. I've known Robbie for decades. I just recently got to know Leslie, and now you're our newest friend, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And this is a fundraiser, so I want to remind the listeners, this is a fundraiser, and all of the artists that you're hearing today and that you'll hear at the show are donating their time and talents, and I can't say how much that means to me and our animals. We are a shelter in Gary. The Humane Society of Northwest Indiana, one of the oldest in America. We celebrated our centennial a few years back. And one of the things that a lot of people don't realize is that you see those big ads on TV for the Humane Society USA, things like that. They do a wonderful job with legislation and doing certain things, but none of the money that you donate through that television ad or however you do it, trickles down. There is no trickle down to local shelters. Every local shelter is responsible for maintaining its own funding. And these are the ways we do it. We do it through music in many ways. And we've got a lot of wonderful things that we're going to be doing drawings for. So we're going to be doing some kind of little ticket thing where you can drop them in the bucket. And some of the items that I've gathered up, Jim Peterick, longtime friend, has given us some lyrics that he has signed. He's also got a signed copy of Songwriters for Dummies, his book. We've got a book signed by John Densmore of The Doors. I've got an item that just came in, which I don't even know what it is yet, from Paul Rogers, a good friend of Bad Company. Him and his wife Cynthia are huge animal advocates. And one of the things that I found, music has been my career since the late 1970s, radio, journalism, clubs, all that. And I've gotten to know some amazing talents over the years. And one of the common denominators besides music has been a love of animals. So I've got to say an awful lot of entertainers, an awful lot of animals or musicians love animals. Going back
they
to
understand us more.
I think so. I think so. Going back as far as the Plasmatics, and I was booking with Wendy O. Williams, and she was huge into wildlife refuges and things like that. Paul and Jeff Beck and all these guys have donated stuff to our events. So I just want to publicly on air say thank you to Leslie, to Robbie, to Eric, to Char, to Ivy, and to all the amazing guests that we're going to have, and to those that are donating items to raffle off. 100% of the proceeds, 100, every penny, every dime, every nickel, is going to help the animals from this event. We are getting the venue covered. We're getting the production covered. We're getting everything covered so that all the proceeds will help our animals. And this shelter not only does what most rescues do, which gets animals into forever homes and takes them off the streets, we also work seriously hard to rehabilitate abuse cases. And we have seen stabbed dogs and cats, blinded dogs and cats, scalded, dragged behind cars, put nails into body parts, the horrific things that come through the shelters. You would not believe and that humans could do this, the atrocities. And there's two special funds. There's Hope's Fund at our shelter for dogs, and there's Helen's Fund, which was named after a blinded cat, for cats. And the money we're doing for this event is all going to help the abuse funds. So thank you all for doing that. And with that said, I know you're all music fans and obviously you got a big warm spot in your heart for animals. Eric and Char, are you guys dog cats, dog people, cat people? What makes animals special to you that you would step up like this?
Their personalities.
And they're all so different.
Exactly. And I thought Ivy mentioned something really, really important. I think a dog understands me better than a lot of human beings. You know, Char's got the inside scoop on me, but I can walk up to a dog I've never seen anywhere, and we can hook up.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see right through the eyes. And, you know, there's just something really, really comforting about meet a kind old hound dog, man.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you ever written a song about an animal?
Nobody sings one about the hound dog. You've never heard him.
Oh, I don't think. Maybe we'll do it at the show that day. Who knows?
Maybe we'll do that.
All right. Char, what about you? Are you a dog or cat person? And do you have any animals now?
I love all living things, and animals have my heart, all of them. Like, my daughter just took me to Discovery Cove for Mother's Day.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God, it was amazing. It was the most amazing thing ever. And just, I love animals. I don't care what kind they are, except for that pesky squirrel that's on my roof. I'm really, really trying to love him, but, you know, we're having we're being challenged a little, but it's all right. I'll not get the gun out.
On that note, since we're trying to help animals.
Like in one breath, she's like, I love all animals, but I'm going to shoot that squirrel. I'm going to shoot it dead.
I don't know what a gun, my I'm radar. Just kidding.
You got a recipe for that, I think. Robbie, what about you? You an animal guy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think we should give more love to the aardvark. I feel like the aardvarks are really misunderstood. No, you know what? The thing about dogs and cats, I'm more of a dog guy, but you know, people, I'm still trying to figure people out.
Don't.
Yeah.
You still don't know where you stand with a person. They can tell you one thing to your face, and then when you leave the room, they say something else. But
I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean to.
And it's on the air.
Dang phones.
So they don't realize that I turned the radio on and heard it. No, but the dog is not going to lie to you. Neither is a cat. If they don't like you, you know it.
You know
and
it.
They're never going to like you. And if they love you, they're going to love you, and you know it. And people true. Have a lot to learn from our four-legged friends.
Oh, yes. Do you have any animals now?
I have a little dog. A little. And it's weird. I never liked little dogs, but my daughter and my wife wanted a little dog, a Chihuahua, which has, you know, Napoleon complex. It's angry. But it's really kind of calmed down now. Now it's chill, and it's like a lazy, nice dog. So, yeah, I'm loving it. It's nice. You know, the only thing I don't like is when we're in gig world now. When I have to go back and it's time to do a gig, I'm in a suit ready to be somewhere, and I have to walk the dog because it hasn't gone number two. And all of a sudden, for 10 minutes, my whole life revolves around a dog's butt. And I hate that.
I feel your pain.
You know
on
that?
I do know that.
You're yeah, kind of that's.
It's like I'm late to a gig or something. It's like, oh, by the way, Mia didn't go out yet. Well, Mia's my pit bull, and Alice is very good with all the dogs. But sometimes she'll say, "You know, that is your dog."
Oh, that's.
But that's okay because I tell her the other three are her dogs.
Fair enough.
And we do the trade out there. But it's interesting. What I love is the fact that we have four dogs and we have a couple of cats and we have a horse that lives off property.
Wow.
And that's Alice's horse, by the way. I like horses. That's as far as I'll say. When it almost ran me over one time and almost took my finger off with an apple, I said, okay, it's your horse. But anyway, when you come home and you've had a really rough day, and our golden dog especially will find the nearest toy she can find and run up to me with her toy like, look, Dad, I brought this for you to cheer you up. And as annoyed and irritable as I can be, it always makes me smile that somebody is there to greet me at the door.
Yes.
One of those animals, and usually it's the golden retriever, who's still a puppy, will come up and say, look at what I did today. And then the pit bull will say, don't look in the corner because it was late. You getting home? Mom didn't let me out. It was your job because I'm your dog, and now you got to clean that up. So, but it's fun. Ivy, are you a dog or a cat person, and do you have animals?
Oh, yes, yes, and yes. When I was younger, both my brother and I used to be allergic to cats. So even though I liked them, it was never like we could ever have one. But we always grew up with dogs. We actually, our one kind of house dog, we got him rescued, like literally from a cardboard box type of thing. He is still, Loki is his name. He's got to be like almost 16, 17 years old now, and he's still with us and rocking and rolling. And then I had actually rescued, because when I moved out, I was like, I want to get an animal, but you know, again, with musician life, I'm like, I don't know how much,
right.
I need to be kind of self-sufficient, and I'd kind of grown out of my cat allergy, so I went to the local rescue here. I said, give me the oldest, ugliest cat that no one wants. Because I'm, you know, I just, you know. And I went in for an old, fat, ugly cat, and I came out with two, I don't even think, they may have been like 7 weeks old, two kittens.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I had seen the one, and they said, well, that one was from that litter, this one was from the other one, and they both got, you know, kicked out. So we created them together. So if you take one, you got to take them both. And I said, well, shucks, okay, bag them up, let's go, you know. So I rescued two cats, and then my husband at the time, my daughter's father, he has a pit bull, which obviously everyone was like, oh, the pit bull's gonna eat the cats. I said no. I said the cats are buttholes, man. I said I'm not worried about them. So then we have a pit bull and two cats, and I'm a huge bully fan. Any sort of mixture in that case.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was pregnant with my daughter, naturally a lot of folks were like, oh, the pit bull and the baby. And I said, again, I ain't worried about the pit bull. I'm worried about the cat.
Right.
You know? So, and she's great. The pity Luca, she's, you know, that's really like her baby. That's, you know, that's her kid. So we got, and then my mom has three dogs. So we're all about the cats and dogs and the rescue thing. So,
good.
Oh yeah.
Well, that explains why you were quick to jump on doing this. And again, we appreciate the fact that you guys are all on board. What I always tell people when I'm talking about the Songwriter Circle, I said, you know, this isn't just local artists. Yes, they are local, they're regional. But these are top shelf songwriters, performers. I mean, there's not a slouch here. There's not a filler track, so to speak, here. Each of you are, in my opinion, the best at what you do at this point in your career.
No, thank you.
You know, Ivy, I've just discovered you, and I've only got four songs, and I really want to hear more. Are you releasing anything soon? Are the songs we're playing, like Start a Fight, and we're going to get to Devil Song shortly. Are you releasing those as a CD, a vinyl, anything?
EP? Yeah, so actually all those, they're off actual full albums. So I got three full studio albums. My first one was Time to Shine, which was, it came out in 2016, and that was like my first, like a full studio. I try to stick to more blues, all originals, and that was my first album that came out, and my first, it was the first for in a lot of ways for me. And then a year later, I came out with Harvesting My Roots, which Start a Fight and The Devil Song is off of. And that go around, I was like one of those, I felt a lot more confident because I'm like, oh, I've done this once before. The first one went really well. Time to Shine went really well. You know, I'm ready. And then last year, actually on my 27th birthday, I released my album Club 27, okay, which it's inspired by Hendrix, Amy Winehouse, Joplin, all the you know, heavy hitters that passed tragically at 27. Mm-hmm. All original stuff still, but inspiration from that. And I'm currently actually in the process of coming out with another album too. So
okay, well, hopefully,
I got stuff out there.
Hopefully, you're the most experienced, roundest, fullest voice I have ever heard on a 20-something-year-old. You think, Tom?
Yeah.
Right? Is that
yeah?
Oh gosh.
Ugh. And the versatility, like I said, we're gonna play Devil's Song here in just a second. Yeah, let's go ahead and get that queued up. I was going to put Robbie next, but Robbie's going to stay here. So we're going to let Ivy go shortly. I want people to hear this bluesy side of her, this old soul side of her. We heard the poppier side earlier in the rockabilly and the jazzy kind of groove. What was I going to? Oh, the thing I was going to say is I hope you will bring some of those CDs with you because we are going to have a merch booth. So hopefully people, all of you, you know, and all of that money will go to you. I'm not asking you to donate any of that because we are doing more than enough. And you put your own money out to produce these things. So all of you are welcome to bring your merch, sell stuff, T-shirts, whatever. Hopefully the people will turn on to your music and you'll build a following, bring out your email lists or whatever lists you people do now. Because I'm still so freaking old. I don't know how this technology works. I'm still a postcard guy. But, you know, sign them up for whatever social media you want. And please, tell us, even today, Ivy, how do they follow you? Do you have a website, a Facebook page?
Yeah, so my website's ivyfordmusic.com. And then I'm also on Facebook under Ivy Ford, Instagram at Miss Ivy Ford. And every, you know, each page has links to the other. So if you find one, you'll find them all. And I have all my info, all my show schedules from now until actually almost next year and mm-hmm. stuff like that. They're up to date. And I always like to tell people, I said, whenever you correspond, you know, whether it's through social media or online or things like that, everything is directly goes to me. So that's kind of nice because, you know, sometimes you reach out to artists and, you know, they got a whole team, which is cool. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, I try in that aspect to kind of try and keep it grassroots and homegrown. So you post something or see something, you know, it's me personally, which I like it because at the end of the day, we're all people. We're all human.
Right.
So it's nice to have that connection.
Right. All right. Let's play a Devil Song. Is there a quick story before this and then we'll play it before we say goodbye and hear a little bit from you on the other side again? Devil Song. Tell us about it.
You know, I think this one definitely goes out to musicians, specifically, you know, us full-time musicians, because anyone else, you know, because we all kind of have our vices and some, you know, our yins to our yangs, which are good, bad, and indifferent, you know. So it's kind of that's kind of the inspiration for this song, and it's definitely few words but very effective.
All right, let's play it. Devil Song. This is Ivy Ford. You'll see her on June 6th.
Many roads I've crossed. I don't know many roads I've crossed. And I've been a lot of places. Now I've been lost. I don't know if I owe the devil, but many roads I've crossed.
What was that Flip Wilson used to say?
Ow!
Devil made her do it. The Devil's Song. That is Ivy Ford, one of the amazing songwriters that is going to be helping animals in need on June 6th, Sunday at the Hobart Art Theater, a beautiful old movie house built in the 40s that has been transformed into a concert venue. And we really want to see some butts in the seats for this event, folks. Not only are you getting an incredible show, you're going to hear the stories behind the songs, you're going to meet these artists, and you're going to know that while you're being entertained, and it's a family-friendly event, you are helping animals. 100% of your ticket price is going to help these animals in need. And it's going to be a fun show. Everyone's going to get to do some songs. You're going to hear great original music and see the, I hate to say next generation because you guys have all been around for a little while, but the next wave of great songwriters coming out of Chicagoland. And, you know, this area has been very, very fruitful as far as creating amazing songs and songwriters over the decades. And these are some folks that I really think are at the pinnacle, the peak of their songwriting. Eric, you last time you were on the show, we're talking about how you started focusing on songwriting, and not just being the guitar guy and the performer, but the actual songwriting. You had some friends that were guiding you and mentoring you, and then you in turn were mentoring Char, and now you guys are doing all this great original stuff. So I think it's the time for the song right now.
I believe so. I believe that's true. Yeah, focusing on the song rather than, you know, using the song for a vehicle for the guitar.
Mm-hmm. And Robbie, you started about a year or so ago pushing for the Robbie Celestin Band. You, of course, have been the master of cover songs for forever, and you've always written, but you never really put that on the front burner. And now I think you're in that mode to start doing more writing and showcasing your own tunes?
Yeah, I'm just about finished with the new CD now, and I've been impatient. I've just been having fun just releasing the tracks anyway, so I've been really, you know, there's a new one coming down the pipe, and it's just been really nice to jump back into it, and, you know, and I think even with the cover world sort of ruling my most of my calendar, I'm going to make sure I'm still doing the original shows because those cats are just too talented and they love it as much as I do. And mm-hmm. You know, you got to see it for the first time, that band.
Yeah.
Yeah. That it's just
great, great band. And we were just talking, Robbie and the Spaniels Forever were starting, they kicked off our series, Second Sunday series, which is a free series in the park during the summer in Highland. And of course, it had to rain that morning, the only day of rain that whole week. It had to be on that Sunday. Isn't that
showbiz,
something to have the blues about there? So about an hour and a half before the show, we decided to move it to the Lincoln Center, which is a glorified gym. And they have a nice stage in there, but it was still a gym. And over 125 people came,
yeah,
which set a record for the indoor last minute move. Usually we move a show by the time people hear about it, and they're like, well, we don't want to go in a gym. We want to sit outside in the lawn, have a picnic. But we set a record at 125 people for a 90
people
minute
hungry,
advance.
Man.
They are.
They're hungry for the music. That's
so
awesome.
That was a gift to some of those folks. The Northwest Indiana crowd, I have a base here because I'd started out here. They have to drive so far to see my original music. And mostly that stuff only happens in the Chicagoland area or even north of that. And they've been driving, and it was so nice mm-hmm. to be able to do a show for them in their backyard like that. That
and
was.
And you're going
to
do another one at Bulldog Park coming up that'll be mostly original. You do some covers for the folks that want to hear them and sing along, but you're going to do a lot of your originals there.
Absolutely.
And of course, this show on June 6th, everyone's doing their originals. Ivy, do you know what you're going to perform yet? I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot. I know we all are just going to have a couple of songs each, but either of the ones that I played, or are you going to do all new stuff?
Well,
for
now
us?
That you played though, like they've already heard them, so I got to do some new stuff. So it depends how I feel after, you know, after the drive out there. Depending on the traffic, I might be in a sassy mood. I might be in, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I don't like to premeditate stuff too early because sometimes it can hinder the. The genuineness of it. I don't know.
Okay. I want to do a track with you, Ivy. I'm going to figure something out. We're going to talk. I like your style. The more
heck
I'm hearing
yeah.
you, you and I got to share some tape space.
I'm down. I'm down.
Now Eric will be performing with Char. Robbie, you have a accompaniment?
Yeah, I'm bringing in Aaron Harris, local boy here.
Okay.
Yeah,
on guitar.
Yep.
Okay, so it'll be a duo. Leslie, last time we talked on Skype, said she was pretty sure she was going to do a solo, but might bring her boyfriend,
right,
who plays. Ivy, what is your plan? Are you going to do solo? Are you bringing someone to accompany you? Or
I'll be solo. Okay. I'll be solo, yeah.
And then Robbie told you at the end, we're going to get all of you involved in something. We're not going to give it away, but we are going to do a little encore presentation. And
it'll be a good time.
It'll be a good time. And we're going to take a few questions from the audience as well. I'll be the moderator, and I'm going to try. Jim Peter gave me great advice. He said, Tom, you're good at what you do, but sometimes you need to shut up so the music can be played. And I said, okay. So if I ever get talking too much, Char has already been designated to gag me. And she's going to give me the stink eye and say, okay, you've talked too much. Let them play. So we have got this so down now. This is my first songwriter circle, and I'm very excited. I got butterflies about this. And Ivy, we got to let you go because we're going to get Leslie on shortly. But it has been wonderful talking to you, and we really look forward to all meeting you and hanging out.
Yes.
Oh, likewise. My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. If you have any questions, call Robbie or myself, and we'll get you to whatever info you need. And otherwise, we'll see you on June 6th.
Sounds like a plan.
All righty. Thank you.
Yep.
Robbie was talking about that show we just did, and for that, you took some of your songs, and you actually put them on a CD. It was kind of a special gift. I just cracked. My voice just cracked. I'm hitting adolescence at last. only took 61 years. Robbie, you put some of these on a special release CD, and this is one of your new ones that we're going to play, right?
Yeah, this is the newest song. It's funny when you're hearing Eric talk about, you know, the different reasons we're all writing. It's funny because sometimes I'll write something because something means something to me at the time and I want to write it, or sometimes a silly story comes to mind. And for this one, I'm such a fan of 60s soul music, and I, as much as I like Motown, I like the obscure, I like Philly soul, and I like Chicago soul a lot.
Gamblin' Huff.
Man, oh man, yeah.
Good guys.
Exactly, and I came across a lady named Joanne Doherty, who's super talented, worldwide, world-class, you know, she's actually the first woman to ever conduct a Motown show, conducted Jersey Boys, played in Jersey Boys, she's done a lot, and she's very established, and she's a beautiful, fair skinned blonde-haired lady who loves her old school soul music as well, and we bonded over a show. We did a show together in Vermont. We bonded over that fact. And this song was simply written, Tom, because I just always wanted. Sometimes I want to write a song that I'd like to hear, and I just wanted to hear a new version of like an oldies. It's something that sounded like it came out in '68, and I just had a blast writing with her and with Mr. Josh Hetwer, who's a great songwriter and friend. And so that's where this one came out.
This is relatively new, within the last 6 months.
Oh yeah, with it. Yeah, yep.
Okay, let's play it. This I Will, Robbie Celestin, one of the many songwriters you're going to see on June 6th.